thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? And my paraphrase for that in my life is, when you have those little trials and testings and challenges that come your way, and you begin to faint, then God says, if you can't handle this, what are you going to do when the big one comes? And they are going to come. You can bet on that. They are going to come. If you've run with the footmen and they were, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when it really gets rough? How can you contend with the horses? And if you're in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they have wearied you. What are you going to do in the swelling or the flooding of the Jordan? The other passage that God gave me at about that same time is found over in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Beginning with verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay, or I could not restrain. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, said they, and we were reported. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. When sometimes we're resisted because we've spoken the truth, and we may tend to say, okay, I'll just shut up. I won't say any more. I won't tell him. Well, God has a way that fire inside of you becomes such that you cannot contain it anymore. You cannot stop speaking the word of God when he's got a call on your life. And so as we begin Jeremiah chapter 1, I want to begin with verse 1. It says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And by the way, Josiah reigned for 31 years. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. I want to ask you a question. How many of you would say, that's a pretty big order? That's a high call that God has upon Jeremiah's life. I want to share just a little background for you. It's kind of touched on a little bit there in that introduction. Jeremiah's years were 68. He lived from 650 to 582. He ministered during the reigns of five different kings, plus a governor who was appointed by the Babylonians. He was a prophet under Josiah. Josiah was king from 641 to 609 B.C. Jehoahaz during just 609. Jehoiakim, 609 to 598. Jehoiachin, 598 to 597. Zedekiah, 597 to 586. And then Gedaliah served as governor in 586. He was given a call. He was put in office as a prophet, and he went through a number of kings in the process. Each one of these that were kings of Judah, each one of these, as he served as the prophet of God, the message God gave to him is, I want you to tell them that they are in big trouble. And I am going to bring a nation against them. The army from the north, Babylon, is going to come down. And although God gives space in the process for them to repent, the reality is God knows they're not going to repent. And Jeremiah is, in fact, and we'll look at this along the way, Jeremiah is instructed, don't even pray for them anymore. Because they're not listening. They're not paying attention. Now, this is a heavy, heavy message that I'm sharing with you tonight. This week I read through the entire book of Jeremiah as a refresher for the message tonight. And as I read through it, one of the heavy things is it reminds me so much of where we are in America today. And it reminds me of a call that God has upon my life. And the call that I believe God has on my life is to speak the truth. And speaking the truth in these politically correct days has with it great potential for difficulty. Just as every one of us in this room that knows and loves the Lord Jesus Christ, when we speak the truth, we have the potential for great opposition because that's the direction our society is moving. And moving very, very rapidly. It's hardly a day goes by, but what in some interaction that I have from Gary Bauer and his ministry, Family Research Council, you know, different ones that I get daily emails from, in which they continue to report, okay, here's another case, here's another case, here's another case, here's another case, where Christians are being persecuted for their faith in America, where Christian businessmen are being hauled into court. Okay, we have one situation after another going on in our land. And so we can identify with Jeremiah in the reality that God has a call upon his life. And let me read that 10th verse. See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. That is saying you are on a heavy, heavy mission. And that mission is not going to be a popular one. And it turned out very genuinely not to be so. It's interesting. I did a search in my computer, and 312 times in the book of Jeremiah is the phrase, saith the Lord. 312 times. Now, what does that mean? God's talking. God's talking. And what God is saying to Jeremiah is, you go out there and this is what you say. This is what the Lord says. In that count also, the word of the Lord is used 51 times. So Jeremiah communicates the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, over and over and over again. And how will it be received? For the most part, it's rejected. In our society today, when we say, this is what the Lord says, this is what the Bible says, what does our society say? No. I don't like that. I don't want that. We're living in different times. You're weird. You're out of time. You're out of date. All this stuff is thrown at us because our society has indeed turned its back on the Lord, and we are going to continue to reap the complications of that if we do not repent. He continued to communicate the warnings to them. In chapter 7 and verse 16, and we're going to kind of float through Jeremiah here. In chapter 7, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, the Lord says, pray not for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for them, for I will not hear thee." Chapter 11, verse 11, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them." Chapter 14, verse 11 and 12. "Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by pestilence." He also proclaimed that God had turned them over to Babylon. And the scripture tells us in chapter 25, verse 11 and 12, and 29, verse 10, that they would be there in the land of Babylon for 70 years. Okay? So I want you to try to fit with me for just a second. Pretend you're Jeremiah. And pretend that God has called you to go deliver this good news. How would you respond? You know, our tendency, our temptation, God's going to do it, so why should I waste my breath? We might say, well, they've got it coming anyway. And it's not going to make any difference if I do preach to them, if I do warn them, if I do tell them. It won't make any difference. And Jeremiah got in that mood. He got in that attitude. And those passages that I shared with you that are remas for my life are because he got in that mood. And he said, God, okay? And the second passage, Lord, you've deceived me. You called me to this ministry, but they're not paying any attention. And so then he said, I'll just not preach anymore. You're wrong. I told most of you this before. You've heard this. Most preachers resign on Monday morning. That's the statistic, that most preachers resign on Monday morning. I wonder why. Okay? All right? So as we look at what Jeremiah is doing, I want to share with you a list. And we're going to start in chapter 11. And I want you to, I just kind of selected out as I went through reading about the number of rejections he's experienced. How many of you have ever been rejected? How many have been rejected again and again and again? You know what I'm talking about. The first rejection is by his neighbors. Have you ever had that happen? Jeremiah chapter 11, beginning with verse 19. "But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth," that's his neighbors, that's the place that he grew up, that's where he lived, "that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no more remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation." How heavy is that? How heavy is that? Chapter 12, verse 6. Rejection by his family. "For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee, don't believe them. Okay? So he's been rejected by his neighbors. He's been rejected by his family. Go with me to chapter 20, and we see that he's going to be rejected again by the prophets and the false priests. False prophets and priests. Chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor of the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib, which means a fright or a terror on every side. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it, and I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive unto Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the laborers thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the king of Judah, and will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there shalt thou die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. So he's being rejected again and again and again. Verse 10, also in chapter 20, says, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, I dare you, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Does he just have a pity party going on? Is he some kind of a psychic sort of a guy here that a little paranoid about people picking on him? Or is this real? It's very real, okay? It's very real. And, of course, there's a hint here. The hint is if he'll just shut up, there won't be a problem. Okay, but let me ask you, this morning, were we told to shut up or were we told to go and speak? And which do we listen to? The world that says shut up or God who says go, you've got a message to give. All right, he has another rejection. Go with me to chapter 26. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of saying all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Verse 10, when the priests of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house into the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city as we have heard with our ears. Now let me ask you a question. What is the job of a prophet? Okay, he's to prophesy, and who's he speaking for? He's speaking for the Lord. And I just shared with you how many times it says, saith the Lord, saith the Lord, saith the Lord. And he is saying, this is what the Lord says, this is what the Lord says. And what are they saying? We don't want to hear it. You're telling us bad things. You're telling us things we don't want to hear. Let me ask you a question. What is going on in America today? When someone speaks the truth, that lifestyle is sin, and that will bring judgment upon you and upon this land. What do they say? We don't want to hear it. You shut up. In fact, we'll put you in jail. You know, hate crime laws for the purpose of shutting up anybody that speaks against sodomy, against same-sex marriage, right on down the line. And here's the bizarre thing, okay? We're adults here, so I can share this. Just day before yesterday, here was an article. Two lesbians had gone to a school. There was a music program going on. They dismissed themselves, went into another room, were stripped at least to the waist, according to what was read, and frolicking in there, and they were discovered as having done this. They were fired. Guess what? The school said, you can't fire them, went to a court. The court said, rehire them. Gary Bauer said this, and it's so sad true. He said, if that had been two Christian teachers in there having a prayer meeting, they'd have been fired and stayed fired. And the argument was there weren't any kids around, but they could have been discovered by kids just as easily as they were discovered by an adult. But in the situation we're in, if somebody is preaching or praying, oh no, you can't do that. But they can do every kind of other bizarre, wicked stuff, and oh, they're protected for that. That shows how far gone we are. And then when somebody stands up and says, that is sin and that is wrong, what do they say? Thou shalt surely die. We got to get rid of that guy. We don't like what he's saying. Who is it that they don't like hearing from? God. Okay? They don't want to hear from God. And what is the result to a nation that forgets God? Scripture says. Okay? Judgment will come upon the nation that forgets God, that turns away from God. All right? Kind of a bit of a change. Go with me to chapter 32. And it's an interesting one that I want us to get a hold of. Sometimes we might think, God, are you sure about this? Any of you ever been there? God, are you sure about this? Because, is there anybody else out there? You know, here he's getting all this rejection and all this opposition just out of him telling the truth, telling the truth, telling the truth, and saying, you know, you're going to be taken away captive. And he's already announced it's going to be for 70 years. And God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I want you to get into real estate. So turn with me, if you would, to chapter 32 and verse 9. And he said, I brought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, and in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court. He went to the county courthouse, okay? And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. Listen to the next verse. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. What is God saying? God saying judgment is going to come. It's going to last 70 years. But you will be back. Because I have a purpose. Okay? I have a plan. I'm going to fulfill my will. And so after 70 years, we get Nehemiah and Ezra, etc., and the return, and God uses a Gentile, Cyrus as king, to send them back, and sends back with them the vessels that go in the temple. And Nehemiah gets a blank check to get all the material that he needs to rebuild the walls. Our God is an awesome God. Sometimes we want to see him only as a taker, but he is also a giver, is he not? He gives to us eternal life, and he gives to us promise and hope even in the midst of the craziness that we live in day by day. And he gives us the confidence that what God has said, he is going to perform. I just need to be faithful and obedient to what he tells me to, regardless of what things look like. God says, I've got another plan. We've been talking recently about the kingdom of God. We've been talking about the millennial kingdom. We've been talking about the new heaven and new earth. Guess what? All this junk that's going on now is someday soon, I think, going to be gone, and it's going to be a whole lot better. Amen? So we just need to be faithful right now while this stuff is going on. Okay, go with me to chapter 36. I'm going to pick up with verse 20, but I'm going to tell you what goes before that. And many of you already are aware of this. Jeremiah is assigned by God to write down all the things that God has told him. And Baruch is to be the penman, as it were, secretary, to write all of these things down. So he has sat down, he has spoken it, and Baruch has been the one who's gone ahead and written it down, and it's been shared, okay? And it's kind of like they shared from one point to another, and in the process, those that heard it out here said, wow, wow, wow. And somebody said, the king ought to hear this. Now, stop right there. Rewind. Go back with me to Josiah. Okay? When we go back to Josiah, when someone read the word to him, what did he do? He tore his clothes. He called the people together. He read it before the people. And there was a great brokenness and repentance and a turning to God. And he started a house cleaning and began to tear down idols and began to take judgment against the wickedness that was in the land. And he ruled for 31 years. And he was just a lad, 8 years old, when he was first appointed to be king. And by 13, he was already beginning to take action. And God used that in a great way. And now we're just a little ways down the road. And what's going on? Now it's going the opposite direction. And so Jeremiah has written all this out, or given it, so it's written all down. Now it's been brought in before the king. So verse 20. And they went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Notice the next verse. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Jemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Ezreel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Okay? The Lord hid them. Let me ask you, what does that say about this king? Yeah. Such arrogance, such hardness of the heart. But let me ask you a question. What is going on with some of our laws and some of our court decisions in our land? How different is that? When the courts are throwing it out, I don't care what the Bible says, throw it out, put it in the fire. We're not going to go with that. And as we go on in that direction, friends, it's God that we're rebelling against. It's God who's going to settle those accounts. The sad and heavy thing is that while Jeremiah is going through all of this, he knows it's his people that are going to reap the consequences of this whole situation. And we know that that's what's going to happen. If there is no repentance, it's our children and our grandchildren and our family extended and so forth, and people that maybe we know and love in other parts of the land, that they're going to reap the consequence if we just keep on going in this direction. And just so that we could know that God didn't say, oh, well, he burned it up, so I'm not going to worry about it. Look what the last verse in that chapter says, verse 32. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. God did not say, well, I guess if man doesn't like it, I'll just not do it. We've still got it, and his word will not change. So we've seen his rejection in a number of different ways. Go back with me to chapter 32. Chapter 32, and not only was he verbally rejected, okay, but he was also imprisoned. We start out with verse 2 and 3 of chapter 32. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. So when the king didn't like what the prophet said, I'll put him in jail. Okay? I'll put him in jail. Chapter 37, verse 15. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for that they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, and this has to be a highlight of the book, is there any word from the Lord? You knucklehead! What are you talking? Is there any word from the Lord? That's why I'm in prison, because I've been telling you what the Lord's been saying. And Jeremiah said, there is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against the people, that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be acceptable before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, bread and water? Okay, that's what he was given. Okay, now listen to me. He said, Babylon's coming. Babylon was there. The false prophets had said, no, they're not coming. So what would your eyes tell you? Who's telling the truth here? Okay, but notice the response that is given there. Go with me to chapter 38, verse 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Machiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And with Adimelech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abimelech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is now no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Abimelech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So Abimelech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts, literally old garments, and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abimelech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, "But now put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with the cords and took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him and to the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I will ask thee a thing. Hide nothing from me." Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, "If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? What good would it do for me to tell you?" Okay? What difference is it going to make? Well, most of you probably know this. The end result is Jeremiah told Zedekiah, "If you are willing to obey the Lord, then you can go and you will die in Babylon. You'll have, as it were, a peace in Babylon." Zedekiah rejected the counsel. It ended up that Zedekiah was taken out. He tried to leave the city by night rather than surrender. And the consequence was they took him. They showed him his children as they were killed before his eyes. Then they gouged out his eyes. They hauled him off to Babylon where he died. "Is there any word from the Lord?" Zedekiah said. But what did he do with what message was given to him? Go with me to chapter 40. Chapter 40. Verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, when he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, "The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place." This is a Babylonian preaching about what's going on in the land. "Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. And now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which were upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go." Go wherever you want. "Now while he was yet gone back, he said, Go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon hath made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with them among the people, or go wheresoever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward, and let him go. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. The enemies of Israel showed compassion to Jeremiah and gave him free pass. Where do you want to go? And A, notice they gave him food, but also gave him a reward. What do you think that means? Give him some money to live on. Okay? Give him a stipend, if you want to call it, to live on. Go with me to chapter 43. 43. Beginning with verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord thy God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Okay, I'm going to stop. How long does it take to convince somebody that you're speaking for God? What evidence is necessary? He's told them what's going to happen, it's happened. Now he's saying to those that were left behind by the Babylonians when they left, don't go down to Egypt. Stay here. God has given you favor. Stay here. You can have crops. You can have land. You can go live right here. So don't go down to Egypt. Guess what they're going to do? On the way to Egypt, verse 3. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us. They're still accusing Jeremiah. For to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. The reason you're not wanting us to go down to Egypt is you are on the enemy side. You're going to turn us over, and we're going to end up being carried away to Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whether they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah and the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even unto Taphanes. Let me ask you a question. Did anybody here learn anything along the way? What happens when a nation rejects God's word? The consequence is that God will indeed judge them just as he must, because that's his holy character. Now, I didn't read that part, but it's in there, and I would reassure you this. God had said several times, and this is the phrase that was often used, I sent you prophets rising up early and speaking all day to warn you to turn and repent and come back to me, but you would not. So lest somebody say, well, God's just a mean old God. He didn't give them a chance. That's not so. That's not so. And has God given America opportunities to repent and turn back? And what are we doing? So, I'm not saying, okay, let me emphasize something. I'm not saying, God has not said, don't even pray for America anymore. I'm not there. I haven't that message from God. I'm not trying to give you that message. But friends, it may come. It may come. You say, but Pastor, America is the apple of God's eye. No, no, no. Israel was the apple of God's eye. America is not the apple of God's eye. America experienced God's favor when America feared God and honored God. And Israel. And when we've turned away from God and turned against Israel, we are, in fact, inviting God's wrath upon our nation. And, you know, one of the things, you need to read Jeremiah this week. It might get you fired up. It has me. But in Jeremiah chapter 6 and chapter 8, God is speaking, and he said, here's how it's come about in Judah, the people can't even blush anymore. Can't even blush anymore. But I would like to say, well, boy, we're not there yet. But we are. What is paraded before our eyes across this land. And what is it that our young people are exposed to left and right? What is it that we exalt and you know? Oh, boy. Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, and guess what? Got a multitude of young people that worship them as if they were gods. And the perversion that has come out of those people, and the arrogance, the out and out rebellion against all standards of what is righteous and holy and good. And the parents even of those people involved that are involved in it as well. And we want to pull our hair out and say, for crying out loud, is anybody awake anywhere anymore? Couldn't even blush. And another phrase that continues, it's in there, it's also in Daniel chapter 9, and that is that God says, I give them over to confusion of face. Confusion of face. What has happened in the last week and a half with the United States relative to what's been going on in Crimea? America is indeed in confusion of face. As a nation, we are being laughed at, mocked at around the world, and that kind of humiliation comes when a nation, instead of trusting in God for their strength, wants to parade their own diplomacy and their own, you know, ego around to impress the world that no, you can't do this, or no, you shouldn't do that. And we are, as a consequence, as a nation, we are sitting ducks right now. We've been told by the guests that we've had from Muslim backgrounds that have become Christian that it teaches in the Quran and it's believed to the very core of particularly the radical Islamists, that whenever a nation is weak, that's the time to strike and bring them down. Watch for their weakness, then strike. Look what we look like in the world today. How pathetic. How pathetic. And friends, repentance is the only thing that can turn this around. And it needs to happen from the top down, but it also needs to happen from the bottom up. We need to pray for our leaders that they would be broken before God. Okay? But we, as God's people, need to pray that we'd be in a position that our prayer would have strength. We can't live in compromise and have power in prayer. It just doesn't work that way. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. So the application for us tonight is that I believe that we have a huge challenge like Jeremiah had a challenge. We have a call like Jeremiah had a call. Before we were born, God had a call upon our life. And that call is to tell the truth, to speak the truth, to give the gospel, to live before the nation that we're living, to show them what a true believer looks like, and to confront the lies that are out there. When somebody is lying to you because they have been deceived, we need to say, you know what the Bible says, and then we need to point them to the Word of God. And you say, but Pastor, I might be rejected if I do that. Yep, good possibility. But you know what? We need to have the attitude that Brother Mike was sharing with us this morning, that one guy in particular. Well, Jesus said that's what was going to happen. I guess I just well get ready. Okay, and be bold and of good courage and stand fast in these times that we're living. And you know what I believe? I believe just as Jeremiah was delivered by God, he can deliver us as well. Amen? He can deliver us through, or he can deliver us out. Either way, his grace will be sufficient for us. But we need to boldly stand for the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,